This is Chris Bleck on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Thanks for listening to the Bleck and Abdallah podcast. It's presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill.
It's Bleck and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Bleck and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Tonight, episodes 9 and 10. Of The Last Dance air on ESPN television. Tomorrow, here on ESPN 1000, our coverage of The Last Dance is presented by Coors Light. Stay inside and buy your Coors Light online. Find out how at get.coorslight.com. Coors Light, take time to chill. Bleck and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Throughout The Last Dance airing on ESPN TV, we've had a segment here on ESPN 1000 called Bulls Backstory, where we take a highlight, a storyline, an individual game, and we go in-depth on that game, that highlight, that storyline, and give you a little bit of the Bulls' backstory to it. And today, for our Bulls' backstory, we take a look at 1998, NBA Finals, Game 6, the Bulls versus the Utah Jazz, Michael Jordan's final game with the Chicago Bulls.
I mean, where do you start? The last shot, Michael scoring 45, Michael scoring 16 in the fourth quarter. You know, Scottie Pippen having the bad back, so this was all Michael Jordan. Like this was all him, right? He got 15 from Tony Kukoc, but other than that, this was Jordan's final masterpiece in a Bulls uniform.
And it's important to point out, because if you go to the box score, you know, it shows Pippen playing the 25 minutes, but he was not Scottie Pippen when he was out there. And in fact, like, it's crazy when you go back and watch the game. Like, what is Utah doing? They have Jeff Hornacek guarding him for the majority of the game, mm-hmm. and Pippen can't move, so Pippen just trolls on down to the paint, stands there, and the few times he got the ball, he just threw hook shots up, and he could barely get back up and down the court. Like, and that's where it's frustrating when people try and tell you that today's basketball is just not as good as it was back in the day. Nobody in the league would play defense like that on Scottie Pippen today, nor would they allow him to just hide on defense when the Bulls were on defense too, because Pippen couldn't move. Mm-hmm. You would put Pippen in a pick and roll each and every time if that was the situation, because he couldn't move. You'd get open layups. Like, imagine if LeBron and Kyrie were playing the Bulls in this game. If you took the 2016 Cavs and you put them against the Bulls in this matchup, they would run them off the court just because Pippen is immobile. He can't do anything. Now you get to Jordan. Jordan, in this game, not what he used to be.
No.
He's not. And he gets by with cunning, guile, and the will to win, and it is incredible to watch.
This is where the quote from B.J. Armstrong comes into play, where Michael, you know, before the in the first three-peat, obviously, flipped a switch, and not only was he the best basketball player, but he also knew how to win the game. You know, he didn't need to score 45. He didn't need to, you know, be the best defensive player that night if he didn't need to be. Well, on this night, he needed to score 45, and he needed to be one of the better defensive players in the game. So because of that, he found a way, like we've talked about throughout this Bulls backstory, throughout The Last Dance, that this last year, Jordan was just exhausted. This last series in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Pacers, Jordan was just exhausted, walking the ball up, just dead tired, cement legs, just basically getting it done with whatever he can left on fumes. And to put up 45 to beat the Jazz the way he did, it's a testament to how great he was and how great of a game this final performance was.
And I think that that's going to be a major storyline in episode 10, is how when Jordan got to this game, this was the end. Mm-hmm. You know, in like the great movie hero, the movie where like the hero gives up himself at the very end, like he gives every part of his being to accomplish whatever takes place,
like an Armageddon,
or like the Matrix. Isn't that what Neo does?
Yeah,
like Neo basically gives up himself,
or like Bruce Willis in Armageddon.
Yeah, or Armageddon. Yeah, sure. Armageddon or Batman. Like when you think that Batman dies at the end of the third Nolan movie,
Bruce
but
Willis
he really doesn't.
Armageddon. Specifically Bruce right, Willis in right. Armageddon.
But that's kind of what this feels like when you watch this game and you see what takes place getting mm-hmm. to this point. Like, this is the end, and he gives it all. So the series is 3-2, heading back to Utah. The Bulls can clinch it. Throughout many of these Bulls backstories, we like to give you a taste of the way the broadcast started. So this is the NBA on NBC. Bob Costas with a legendary intro.
Every great drama has its subplots. Game 5 of the NBA Finals was no exception. The Jazz finally got a marquee performance from their star, Karl Malone. The mailman stole the show with 39 points. Meanwhile, Chicago's leading man, Michael Jordan, was having trouble hitting his marks. Even with Malone's big night, the director of Utah's cast, Jerry Sloan, made a script revision at intermission. He called on a seldom-used veteran from Wichita State, a stand-in, Antoine Carr. Carr had 5 field goal attempts in the second half. He made them all. Without his performance in a supporting role, the NBA Finals would be history. Instead, the Jazz are back in Utah, back on their home stage, after refusing to let the curtain come down in Chicago. Game 6, next.
The NBA on NBC. The 1998 NBA Finals. Tonight, it's Game 6. The Chicago Bulls versus the Utah Jazz.
So that's how the broadcast starts, heading into Game 6. So the game goes on. Pippen, within the first couple minutes, even though the storyline heading into the game was the back, Pippen started. He came out of the game, didn't play the rest of the first half. At halftime, he came back into the contest, but basically couldn't really move. And when I'm saying, if you didn't watch the game live, like, he legitimately was having trouble getting up and
he
down the court.
He was walking weird. Like, yeah.
It was, and grimacing the entire time, uh-huh. but still finding a way occasionally to get the ball in the paint, throwing up some hook shots and making them. And he had 8 points in the contest. Tony Kukoc, once again, throughout this series and also the Pacers series, you'll find out that, and you'll see it on the documentary, that basically if Tony wasn't there, this team doesn't win the championship. Hmm. And so also Rodman, a little known fact that I think, thinking back on it, I remember, but like, Rodman didn't start.
No.
Because Rodman was not playing at the level he used to either. So, I mean, this team was banged up. We get to the end, and that's where we see John Stockton hit a 3-point shot to make it 86-83 with 41 seconds left. Jordan's been carrying the team on his back the entire night. Chicago calls a timeout, 86-83. The Bulls are going to inbound the ball, and that's where we get to the legendary, I think, most important 3 possessions in NBA history. It's a Bulls possession, a Jazz possession, and a Bulls possession. Here it is.
Now the Bulls would like to get 2-for-1 possession here. Try to get a quick score, get to the free throw line to give them 2 opportunities to 1.
Pippen into Jordan. Michael working on Russell. Brings them to within 1.
They scored within 4 seconds there. That's how quickly that changes now. Now it puts the pressure on the Jazz to score once again.
Jordan with 43. Double. They swat at it and steal it. Here comes Chicago. 17 seconds. 17 seconds from game 7 or from championship number 6. Jordan. Open. Chicago with the lead. Timeout Utah. 5.2 seconds left. Michael Jordan running on fumes with 45 points.
At the end of the game, you gotta get it out of his hands. He's beat you so many times. You watch Jordan play, Doug, and you know that at the end of the game, He's a killer.
This was really the play that hurt Isaiah because they scored so quickly. Michael got in there and scored within 4 seconds. And what happened was Michael doubled back. You're going to see he's in the play. Look where Hornacek is setting the screen. Michael never clears, so Malone doesn't see him. He comes from the blind side and strips him. So three crucial plays here by Michael Jordan now as he gets Brian Russell with a quick crossover. Look at Brian Russell slips, and Michael pulls up and buries the shot to give him a one-point lead.
That may have been, who knows what will unfold in the next several months, but that may have been the last shot Michael Jordan will ever take in the NBA.
Watch Jordan's left hand here as he gives Russell the push. The referee can't see that. Jordan frees himself up for a clean look. The greatest thing about Jordan is he has all the tricks. That's why it's so difficult to guard him.
If that's the last image of Michael Jordan, how magnificent is it?
So that's Bob Costas, Doug Collins, and Isaiah Thomas on the call. And I think that those are the three most important possessions in NBA history. Not only does it cement the legacy of Michael Jordan, like Bob Costas is saying there, but also that was the most watched game in NBA history.
Yeah.
That game had a rating of 29 million people watching that game, a record that has yet to be beaten today. So at no point in history has anyone, more people been watching one NBA moment. And it's not only that moment, but also the moment where Jordan then confirms to everyone, not only is he the best ever, but how about this? One last thing to go out on. Three straight possessions, bucket, steal, bucket, with the pose. Incredible.
What's crazy is at least 72 million people in the U.S. watched at least part of that game. How are you not watching the whole game? I don't get it.
And there's two
kinds. There's two kinds of dudes, Chris.
Yep.
There's two kinds of dudes. There's final shot dudes and there's push off dudes. Don't be a push off dude.
Well, I mean, listen.
Don't be a push off dude.
They go on to say in the broadcast, like, listen, when you're that good, you're that crafty, it doesn't matter that even if it's a push off,
don't be a push off. Don't be a push off.
This Bulls backstory deserves a two-parter. Mm-hmm. We have more coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
We're talking about Game 6 of the 1998 NBA Finals. The Bulls beat the Utah Jazz. It's our Bulls backstory for this morning here on Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. All our coverage is brought to you by Coors Light of The Last Dance. And Abdallah, if we look at the stat line, Jordan and the Bulls, they win the title. Jordan, in 43 minutes, goes 15 of 35, 3 of 7 from 3, 12 of 15 from the free throw line, 45 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 4 steals. Most importantly, a bucket at the end, a steal, and then the jump shot over Russell for his final shot as a Chicago Bull.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, he scores the Bulls' last 8 points of the game, right? So he dominated those last few minutes of the game and had the steal on Karl Malone to set up the last shot. So this was Jordan's final legacy moment. If he needed any more, this was his final legacy moment for the Bulls, scoring 45.
And on TV, as that was taking place, and as the 30 million people around the country are watching this game, most in NBA history, it was a storyline. Like, this isn't going back 30 years and saying, oh yeah, this was the great moment. We knew it in the moment. And here's Bob Costas. The game ends. They are celebrating on the court. Here's Bob Costas talking about Michael Jordan.
Statistically, especially in terms of shooting percentage, Michael Jordan has had better games. But when you consider at age 35, the games he's played this year, the grinding minutes he's played, and Scottie Pippen being all but incapacitated tonight, and the fact that they're on the road, and the fact that the odds would shift to Utah's favor for a Game 7. Yes, MJ Rose again. He no longer needs accomplishments to prove his case as the greatest player in NBA history. He just adds to it. And if this is the final chapter, what a way to close the book.
So, I mean, like, as this was taking place on NBC in 1998, the storylines were about The Last Dance, obviously, and we'll see that in the documentary tonight. Mm-hmm. But, like, we were all aware that this is it. This is the final game for Michael Jordan. In his final game, the final 5 minutes, he took over. In the final 2 minutes, the final 90 seconds, the final three possessions, Jordan took over. He was the best. He showed us all that he had one last thing to kind of go out on. And Bob Costas pointed it out throughout the end of the game broadcast. Like, this is what took place. We saw the great player give us one last masterpiece, 45 points, the team on his back, almost nothing from Pippen because of his back injury, and Jordan finds a way to beat the Utah Jazz. And then it gets kind of strange. Now, you win championships, right? You have the ceremony on the court, which is kind of new to the NBA this time, because previously when you would win on the road, they would do it into the locker room. Now you're out on the court in Utah, so this is out in the open. And the Jerrys are at the podium. Now, watching this last night, it's just, I think there's going to be a lot of coverage of this in the documentary tonight, in the final couple episodes here, 9 and 10. Here's Jerry Reinsdorf and Jerry Krause post-game after they get the trophy, Ahmad Rashad interviewing the two of them in front of the world.
All right, Mr. Reinsdorf. Chicago Bulls fans all over the world would like to know, are you going to do everything you can possible to bring these guys back here to try to do this all over again?
Well, let me first, Ahmad,
first
say
question.
That on behalf of millions of Bulls fans all around the world, it's an
He's
honor to accept this trophy. It's only unfortunate that we can't have co-champions, because this Utah Jazz team is just the greatest team that we've ever played. 2 years in a row, they took us as far as you could take anybody. Winning six championships in 8 years is unbelievable. It's a tribute to a great coach and his staff, great players, Scotty and Michael, an unbelievable performance by Scotty and Payne tonight, Jerry Krause and his staff, just unbelievable. And on behalf of millions of Bulls fans all over the world, I can only hope and pray that Michael and Scotty will come back and defend the championship one more time.
I take that as a yes. You are going to try to bring them back. Jerry Krause, you have to be very proud of this team.
I'm so proud of these players and the staff. And this is for the fans back in Chicago, the greatest sports fans in the world. And we're just so happy. We're going to celebrate safe, guys, and we'll be home tomorrow morning.
All right, Jerry, let me ask you, you do everything you can to bring these guys back.
Well, you know, tonight all I want to do is celebrate and have fun, and we're going to talk later on. But this is a great occasion. And what Jerry said about the Utah Club, Jerry Sloan and Scotty Layden are special people, and this is just a great organization, and it's somebody that you're proud of, that you can be with.
All right, Jerry.
All right, Jerry. So if you go back and find this video, Jerry Krause has his hand on Ahmad's hand in the mic because he won't let him remove it. So, like, Ahmad's holding it towards his face. Krause has a death grip on Ahmad's hand in the mic, telling us that he's just going to celebrate and have fun. He's not going to answer your questions, Ahmad. So, I mean, I think that that's going to get some play tonight on the documentary. And then, so he goes Reinsdorf, Krause. Now, remember, these were the first questions asked after the trophy was handed to them. So it's not like, congratulations, okay, now will you bring these guys back? Ahmad asked Jerry Reinsdorf as the first question.
Well, I mean, think about it. That's
rare. Jerry Reinsdorf almost slipped up. He said six championships.
Michael's six in a row. I mean, it's almost...
It's just funny to hear back.
Look, when Brady had his... You know, you always ask. So are you thinking about... And you always do the, well, let's celebrate this. It's not fair to talk about next year. All that kind of stuff.
So we get Jerry. He talks to Phil. Phil says, I'm not going to answer the question about coming back.
Phil's
but he makes a smile. And you know that Phil's... He's ready to go. Here's Michael with Ahmad Rashad after getting the MVP trophy for the NBA Finals.
Michael, you have won this award before, but somehow... I have the feeling that this one is more special than all of them.
Well, let me say hello to my wife and my kids at home because they desperately wanted to come. I didn't want them to come here today because I wanted to focus on the game, but I wish they were here to help me celebrate. I know they're there cheering, and I can't wait to get home. But to the Utah fans, you guys are a tough bunch to play in front of. You guys came out with a lot of loyalty and respect for your team. You made it really tough for us. We really, after losing game five in Chicago, a couple of us dread coming back to Utah because we had to deal with the fans because of the energy that they bring to the game. But we had no choice, so we had to come in and play our best. And you guys made it a very competitive finals. And, you know, it's very worthy to win this. And I think of all the championships that we've won, this is the toughest.
It doesn't get any easier. But at the beginning of the season, this was the goal that you set out for. How wonderful was it to make this into a reality?
Well, I tell you, when you start the season, I'm pretty sure every team next year is going to start with the focus of finishing and winning their last game. We started with that focus. It was a long road, a lot of different tasks and little bumps in the road, but somehow we made it. And I think everybody who looks at this year is going to have a lot of gratification and understanding and a lot of dedication.
There were a lot of times during the course of the season that people doubted the Chicago Bulls, doubted that you'd be able to come back and pull this off. Even during this this finals series here, people doubted you. How'd you guys stay so confident?
Well, I mean, this team is one. Our leadership is strong. Our leadership is very positive, very determined, and it filters down to the rest of the players. And we never let anybody give up. You know, we believed in it, and we kept coming for it.
All right, I've asked everybody if they're all going to come around to try to do this again one more time.
I would love for that to happen. I think that's something that's got to have to be determined over summer.
All right. Congratulations, Michael. Congratulations, Chicago Bulls.
And that's what stings. Michael, the only one interviewed after the game who said he would love for it to return. Scotty would not comment. Phil would not comment. The Jerrys ignored the question. They would not comment. Michael wanted to come back, and the Bulls didn't want him. That should be the lasting impression from this documentary. I don't care if you have anything else to take away from this, but that's what is going to sit with me, I think, at the end of all this. Michael wanted to come back.
Especially because of the labor strike. You would think that, and then people are going to say, oh, well, he cut his finger. Well, listen, butterfly effect, if he stays, maybe he doesn't cut his finger, all that kind of stuff. You never know. With the strike shortened season, maybe that would have been enough time for him to rest up and have another go. And they could have done something and won four in a row.
And they wonder why in 2019, 2020, people still say things negatively about the Bulls organization.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest player ever wanted to come back.
Of course he did.
You didn't want him.
Yep.
That's our Bulls backstory for today, and all of our coverage of the Last Dance is brought to you by Coors Light.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.